Changes and Challenges. As you read, look for new laws imposed by the trustees and the discontent among some settlers, the arrival of new settlers, the War of Jenkins' Ear and the Battle of Bloody Marsh, terms, ally, slavery, indentured servant, pacifist, malcontents. In the spring of 1734, James Oglethorpe went to England, taking with him Tomochichi and other Indians. They were very popular there during the 4 months they stayed, even meeting the royal family and the Archbishop of Canterbury, the head clergyman of the Church of England. Oglethorpe used his time in England to advertise the Georgia colony, raise money, and prepare for the colony's future defense. When he returned to Georgia in 1736, he brought cannons and other weapons for defense. Also on this return voyage were two new Anglican, Church of England, ministers for the colony, brothers John and Charles Wesley. Born at Epworth in England, John and Charles graduated from Christ Church College of Oxford University, where they helped found and belonged to the Holy Club. Other members of the Church of England began to call themselves Methodist because of the methodical way they tried to live a holy life. John became a missionary with the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel in foreign parts. At that time, Georgia was considered a frontier in need of missionary services. John hoped to work with the Indians and perhaps convert some to Christianity. Charles came with his brother to Georgia, working as a secretary for Oglethorpe and serving as a priest at Fort Frederica. John was the minister for the Savannah colonists at Christ Church. However, some colonists did not appreciate the strictness in religious life that both brothers tried to encourage. Charles returned to England in 1736. John stayed until 1738. After returning to England in 1738, John had a religious experience at a religious meeting and believed that his heart had been strangely warmed. Charles had a similar experience. This led them to become traveling preachers. Charles expressed his religious fervor through preaching and writing hundreds of hymns. Although the Wesleys did not intend to found a new religious group, and Charles was especially tied to the Church of England, Methodism did become a separate denomination. New laws. When Oglethorpe returned, he also brought with him copies of three laws approved by the British government. One law made the sale and use of rum and other spirits illegal in Georgia, although the colonists could still drink beer, wine, and cider. In addition to believing that rum made the colonists sick, the trustees did not want it used in trade with the Indians. The second law also related to the Indians. It required that anyone trading with the Indians in Georgia have a license. The trustees hoped to keep good relations with the Indians by making sure that the traders treated them fairly. This was especially important because Georgians did not want the Indians to become allies of the Spanish in Florida. An ally is a person, group, or country who joins with another for a common interest. This law, however, angered the South Carolinians who thought Georgia was trying to steal the Indian trade from them. The last of the three laws made slavery illegal in Georgia. Slavery is the practice of owning people as property. The trustees wanted the settlers to do the work in their gardens and on their farms themselves. They also feared that having slaves could be dangerous to the defense of the colony, because the Spanish might encourage the slaves to run away or to revolt against the Georgians. White indentured servants, however, were allowed in Georgia when extra workers were needed. These were people from Europe who sold their labor for a period of years in return for passage to the colony and support during their period of servitude. Unlike slaves, indentured servants became free when they had worked the agreed-upon time. Slavery, as it was practiced in the British colonies, was not only for the lifetime of the slaves, but also for the children of slave mothers. The children of indentured servants were not automatically indentured, although many were in order to have support. But they too became free as adults. New settlers. Only a few months after the colony began, a ship carrying 42 Jews arrived unexpectedly from England. Their voyage had been paid for by the Jewish community in London, although they had not asked the trustees for permission to come. The trustees, who wanted Protestant Christians in the colony, did not like the idea of the Jews living in Georgia, but Oglethorpe decided that they could stay and granted them lots. Among them was Dr. Samuel Nunez, who was able to save the lives of some of the victims of the fever that was killing so many Georgians. In some parts of Europe, people were persecuted, ill-treated, for their religion. In the Europe of the 1700s, citizens of a country were required to belong to the religion established by the government. In some areas and countries, Catholics were in power. In other areas, Protestants of various denominations were in power. The British tolerated different religious groups, but they did not allow total religious freedom. Those who were not members of the Church of England were under certain restrictions, and their taxes were used to support the government-established religion. In other places in Europe, religious groups different from the government religion were persecuted more harshly. That was the case for the German-speaking Lutherans who lived in and near Salzburg in Central Europe. Their supporter, the Reverend Samuel Erlsberger, contacted the trustees who agreed to allow them to become colonists. The first Salzburgers arrived in 1734. Oglethorpe gave them land to settle about 25 miles up the Savannah River. The first site chosen, which they called Ebenezer, turned out to be too swampy. 2 years later, they asked for and received better land. They called this town New Ebenezer, which means Stone of Help. There they built a church, school, orphanage, and mills. Under the leadership of their minister, John Martin Bolsius, the Salzburgers became hard-working colonists. They not only farmed, but they were also the colonists most dedicated to producing silk. The trustees were more pleased with these settlers than any others. Another group of German-speaking Protestants who came to Georgia were the Moravians, whose religious sect was the Unity of Brethren. They worked hard to educate the Indians and convert them to the Christian religion. Although most lived in Savannah, some Moravians lived nearby in Irene, about 5 miles up the river where an Indian school had been established. The Moravians were pacifist and believed that any kind of fighting or violence was wrong. They had difficulty being accepted by the other colonists. By 1740, the Moravians left Georgia, most for Pennsylvania. James Oglethorpe recruited one of the groups who came. Because relations between Great Britain and Spain were so tense, Oglethorpe was concerned about Georgia's defense if war should break out. To have colonists who could serve as soldiers in the south of the colony, Oglethorpe recruited men from the Highlands of Scotland. The Scottish clans had a reputation for being good soldiers and fighters. Many of these Highland Scots settled the town of Darien and helped build other forts on the Georgia Islands. The most successful farmers were the Salzburgers, who were happy in New Ebenezer with their 50-acre grants. They supported the law against slavery and supported the trustees' vision of small farms. They even produced some silk. They were grateful to the trustees for giving them a new life where they could practice their Lutheran faith without persecution, so they defended the trust and its policies. So did the Highland Scots in the southern area of the colony. The malcontents. Unfortunately, some Georgia colonists became unhappy with the trustees' policies and laws. The Rum Act was often ignored. By the early 1740s, no one tried to enforce it. Before they had even left England, some colonists had objected to the rule that women could not inherit land. Men thought it was not fair that they might work hard to clear and plant land and build houses that might have to go back to the trust if they had no male heirs. They also worried about what would happen to their widows and daughters. The trustees had to agree to consider allowing some women to inherit. The colonists also found out that grapes, olives, and mulberry trees did not grow very well in Georgia. They resented having to work hard for very little produce. Many of the leaders of these complainers, or malcontents, had paid their own passage and did not like the trustees' land policies. Most of them were Scots who had come from the lowlands of Scotland. By 1738, they had become more organized. In December, they sent a long letter to Great Britain calling for changes. They especially did not want to be limited to 500 acres. They knew that plantations in South Carolina made high profits because they could grow rice. Rice required not only many acres of land, but also many workers. A small farmer on 50 acres without extra workers could not grow it. They also began to pressure the trust to allow slavery. By 1740, some of the loudest malcontents left to settle in South Carolina. From there, they published a book entitled A True and Historical Narrative of the Colony of Georgia, summarizing the colony's problems and their criticism of the trustees. Even with some of the malcontents in Charlestown, the discontent over trustee policy did not go away. Defense of Georgia. James Oglethorpe became very concerned with the colony's defense. On his trip to England, he had convinced Parliament that the British government should pay for the colony's protection, since Georgia was the buffer between Spanish Florida and all the British colonies north of it. Upon his return in 1736, Oglethorpe ordered that forts be built at both the northern and southern ends of the colony. In honor of the marriage of King George's son, Frederick, Prince of Wales, to his German bride, Princess Augusta, in April of that year, the southern fort and town on St. Simon's Island were named Frederica, and the northern fort and town became Augusta. Augusta was a center of the trade with the Indians for deerskins and beaver furs because both the Creek and Cherokee paths to the Savannah River came together a few miles north of the fort near the fall line. To lay out the town around the fort, the settlers had the help of the small band of Chickasaw Indians. South Carolina had recruited those Chickasaw in 1723 to help protect the Carolinians from other Indians. For their help to the Georgians, they received land on the Georgia side of the river. Most of their fellow Chickasaw lived on the Mississippi River. This group kept their ties with the Western Chickasaw, so they knew about French movements in the Mississippi River area. Oglethorpe made Frederica his home. From there, he oversaw the building of several more forts along the sea islands. He also had the colonists lay out roads, which today would be called paths, connecting the settlements of the colony. He traveled to Great Britain again in 1737 to make sure that Parliament would support Georgia against the Spanish. This time, Parliament agreed that Georgia could have a regiment of British troops. When Oglethorpe returned in 1738, he brought with him several hundred soldiers. He was soon asking the trustees to send over some industrious wives for the men. Oglethorpe believed that women would settle them down. Appointed to the rank of general, Oglethorpe commanded the British regiment and the militias of South Carolina and Georgia. In 1739, Oglethorpe traveled into the Indian lands, going as far as the Creek town of Coweta, near modern Columbus, on the Chattahoochee River. He wanted to maintain the friendship of the Creek, especially if war should break out with Spain. Although Tomochichi died while Oglethorpe was on this trip, Mary Musgrove became an important diplomat between the Georgians and the Creek. Oglethorpe came back through Augusta, the center of Georgia Indian trade, and met with representatives of the Cherokee. Both Indian nations agreed not to help the Spanish. Oglethorpe's defense efforts became important when the War of Jenkins' Ear broke out between the Spanish and the British that very year. Oglethorpe left Savannah for Frederica after Tomochichi's funeral. In his first trip to Florida, Oglethorpe and his men had skirmished with the Spanish at the St. John's River before going back to Frederica. In the second attempt, he captured a Spanish fort on the river. The main action began in 1740 when Oglethorpe planned and led an invasion of Florida, where the Spanish had the town of St. Augustine with its big fort of San Marcos. He was able to get help from hundreds of Indians. Accompanied by some Creek, Uchi, and Chickasaw Indians, British soldiers, and militia from Georgia and South Carolina, Oglethorpe led one group by water while the other marched by land. They took two small forts on the St. John's River along the way. The second one, Fort Mose, was only 2 miles from St. Augustine. Although Oglethorpe and his troops were unable to get to their planned landing near Fort San Marcos because Spanish ships were there, rather than attacking directly, they decided to surround the fort. The Spanish led a surprise attack at Fort Mose, defeating the British in the skirmish. Meanwhile, the bombardment of both Fort San Marcos and the town of St. Augustine, which began in late June, did not go well. The cannons were so far away that they did little damage. The Spanish would not come out of the fort to fight. When 3 Spanish ships slipped in and resupplied the fort with food, the plan began to fall apart. British troops got sick from the weather, some deserted, and the Indians wanted to leave. Oglethorpe believed he had no choice but to retreat. It was a terrible failure. By that time, Oglethorpe himself was sick with a fever. He knew, however, that the confrontation with Spain was far from over. In 1741, Spain ordered its officials in Cuba and Florida to prepare an expedition against Georgia for the following spring. Over 50 ships and 7,000 men left Cuba, arriving in St. Augustine after enduring a terrible storm at sea. Oglethorpe knew the invasion was coming and that he was outnumbered and outgunned. He brought all his forces together at Fort Frederica on the northern end of the island. The Spanish arrived at the south end of St. Simon's Island on July 5th and 6th, 1742, camping in the abandoned Fort St. Simon. On July 7th, the Spanish tried to attack Fort Frederica on the other end of St. Simon's Island. The Georgia troops were able to defend it. The day had begun when Spanish scouts ran into British patrols. The two forces fired upon one another. Oglethorpe himself rode out to help scatter and push back the Spanish troops. When the Spanish sent additional troops in the afternoon, the British fired at them from the marshes, forcing them to retreat back to Fort St. Simon. This battle of the Spanish troops became known as the Battle of Bloody Marsh. The Spanish remained on St. Simon's, although other attempts to attack Oglethorpe and his troops failed. Oglethorpe also tried trickery to make the Spanish think that reinforcements were on the way. As the Spanish commanders debated what to do, they saw 3 British ships. Unsure if they might be the beginning of major reinforcements, they decided to evacuate. After burning Fort St. Simon, the Spanish left the island in mid-July 1742, retreating into Florida. The war soon became a larger war, called King George's War, when France became involved, but no further fighting took place in Georgia. Thanks to the victory at the Battle of Bloody Marsh, Georgia remained a British colony. With Georgia successfully defended, Oglethorpe left for England in 1743 and never returned to the colony he had founded. He did stay active on the board of the trust until the end. In fact, he lived long enough to see his colony become a state in an independent United States. Before leaving, he thanked Mary Musgrove and promised her more rewards for her years of service. She remained part of the story of colonial Georgia well into the 1760s. Reviewing the section, 1. Defying slavery, indentured servant, malcontents. 2. What were the 3 laws Oglethorpe introduced in 1736? 3. Why did Oglethorpe want to build up Georgia's defenses?